Mark chapter 10 as we continue our journey through Mark's Gospel. Last week we covered the rather difficult subject of divorce and marriage. And isn't God good in answering our prayers? So thank you to all who prayed for me as we led up to preaching and proclaiming that last week. I hope it encouraged your hearts, if not challenged you in many ways as well. Slightly easier one to preach on this morning. However, as always, God's word is there to encourage us, but also to challenge us in how we treat the little ones amongst us. So let's read of Jesus' encounter with the little children here in Mark 10 and verse 13. People were bringing little children to Jesus to have him touch them, but the disciples rebuked him. When Jesus saw this, he was indignant. He said to them, "Let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. I tell you the truth, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it." And he took the children in his arms, put his hands on them, and blessed them. Amen. This is God's word for us this morning. Let's bow our heads and just pray for a moment together. Father God, we thank you for your many blessings in life. We thank you for the way that you hear and answer prayer. We thank you for being with us last weekend as we thought on the rather difficult subject of divorce and marriage. We thank you for the way that you spoke to our hearts to encourage us, but also to challenge us in regards to that. We thank you for the way that you've walked with us through this week as we've pondered that word. And as we've lived our lives out in community with one another, community with work colleagues, community with friends, with those who live around us, our neighbours, we thank you for being with us. We thank you for the many blessings in our life. And Lord, as a token of our appreciation, we've brought our gifts, our offerings to you this morning, carefully thought through, carefully brought into your storehouse. And Lord, we pray that you would take our offerings this morning, that you would bless them. That you would increase them, Lord, that you would help us to use them wisely for the work of your kingdom here in this place and further afield. We thank you for your many blessings. We thank you for your word. We thank you that it's living and active, that it's sharper than any two-edged sword. We thank you that it's full of practical instruction for how we're to live life here on earth. And so we pray this morning that you would continue with us, that you would continue to open our eyes and our ears to see the wonderful truths contained within your word, that you would encourage us this morning in regard to our relationship with children and our relationship with your Son, our Lord Jesus. Speak to us clearly, to speaker and listener alike, for we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Many years ago, a missionary, Robert Moffat, learned the importance of not overlooking children. Only a few people had turned up at one of his meetings because of bad weather. And although disheartened, he preached his message, not noticing a little boy who was operating the bellows of the organ. Shows you how long ago this was, by the way. He had been brought to church by his parents. Before Moffat was finished preaching that day, that boy had decided that when he grew up, he was going to be a missionary. His name was David Livingstone, who went on to become God's pioneering servant in Africa. We as parents, as school teachers, as church workers, as neighbours, as friends, must never overlook the children whom God brings into our lives. Remember that the kingdom of God is for children too. Children matter. And they matter not only in that we are responsible for caring for them and nurturing them and bringing them to Jesus, but also in that they have much to teach us about how to come to our Lord Jesus. Last week we thought on couples and marriage and saw Jesus answer the Pharisees' tests about divorce by confirming God's great plan and design for marriage. As Jesus continues to teach his disciples some important lessons before he leaves, he comes today to teach them that children matter. That's the thought I want you to have and to hold and to take away with you. Children matter. And there are four key areas, four key actions for us to take in regard to children, as we see in the passage here. As we begin in verse 13, we learn, I believe, that we are to lead them to Christ. Lead them to Christ. The first, one of the most important things we can ever do for our children. People were bringing little children to Jesus to have him touch them. Parents, grandparents, family, friends, neighbors. They brought their children, the little children of their neighborhood, to Jesus. They wanted Jesus to bless them, to pray for them. And you know, this was commonplace in the day and the culture in which Jesus lived and ministered, because people would often come to the rabbi, to the teacher, and bring their children and ask him to pray for their children and to bless them. And I suppose in many ways, when we have new children born to us, one of the things we do early on in their lives, as we bring them to church, to say thanks to God and to have a church family pray for them and with them. The best thing that we can do for our children is to lead them to Jesus, to teach them all about him and his amazing love. But how do we do that? How do we lead our children to Jesus? Well, we've already spoken of it in one very simple way this morning. We bring them to church with us. We bring them here so that they can be part of God's family, so they can sing his praise with us, so they can go to creche and to explore us and to navigate us, so they can learn more and grow more. But how else do we lead them to Jesus? Well, thinking on the whole of Scripture, three very practical ways for us this morning. Firstly, we lead them to Jesus by prayer. By prayer. Charles Haddon Spurgeon was a great Baptist preacher. I've still got books on my shelf that I read occasionally from Spurgeon. Spurgeon was a wonder. God blessed him and used him. But do you know why? Because his mother prayed for him fervently. When he was a baby, she prayed for him. As he grew to become an infant, she prayed for him. As he grew to toddle around and go to nursery school, she prayed for him. As he became a boy, she prayed for him. As he became a teenager, she prayed for him. As he became a young man, she prayed for him. And Spurgeon went on to be mightily used by God. The Apostle Paul often records in his letters that he's praying for the people that he's writing to. He's reminding them that he cares for them and he's lifting them before the throne of grace. He prays that they will grow in their knowledge, that they will grow in the love of God. The best example we have of prayer, of course, is our Lord Jesus himself and all the examples he set, but also in the model prayer that he gave to his the disciples. And you need to be asking our children about that model prayer, because for these past weeks they've been learning about it week after week after week through an explorers. So ask them about it. They might say it in a slightly different way to you or I are used to, because they're doing it in a more modern way, but the theme is still the same there. Jesus taught his disciples to pray our Father who is in heaven. He also prayed often. He got up early and he went to pray. He withdrew to quiet spots. He prayed in difficult times in the Garden of Gethsemane. He prayed for his disciples and all believers who would hear their message and respond in John chapter 17. We're encouraged throughout Scripture to pray. To pray to our Father in heaven. And that wonderful old hymn reminds us of it, doesn't it? What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. And that was my grandfather's favourite prayer and my favourite hymn. And he prayed often. And I am so grateful, so very grateful for the prayers of a grandfather for me that led me in later life to the Lord and into the Lord's service. So we lead our children to Jesus by prayer. We pray for them. We pray for God's protection on them. We pray for God to lead them and to guide them throughout their life. We pray that they would come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their own personal Lord and Savior in due course as well. We lead our children to Christ by praying for them. We lead our children to Christ by teaching them the Bible, by reading it to them, by showing them the importance of it. These people were teaching their children what was important in life. They recognized who Jesus was. He was the living Word of God. And so they brought them to him. In the text that I often use at dedications, that we find the encouragement to teach our children. We prayed through it earlier on this morning, Deuteronomy 6. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on their foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. Be talking about God's word wherever you go. Whatever you do, it's important to teach our children, even from a young age, about God, about his love, about his teaching in the scriptures. And so the people were beginning to teach that their children by leading them to Jesus. We can help teach our children by leading them to Jesus as well. We do that in our homes first and foremost. Don't leave it to the creche leaders. Don't leave it to the explorers teachers, the navigators teachers, the youth leaders. Don't leave it to your pastor. Do it yourself. Open your Bible with them in the evenings. Get a kid's Bible and read the stories to them as they go to sleep as little ones. As they grow older, get a more advanced Bible for them and sit with them and get them to read it with you and get them to interact with the stories as they grow older. Pray with them as they go to their beds at night as well. We teach them at home. They observe the way we live and the way we act. If we are to be a people who are found reading the Bible every day and spending time in prayer every day, they will observe and follow our actions. And if our actions aren't quite so good, they will copy those too. And that's the third area, by the way, that we lead them to Jesus through our example. Through our example. Someone once asked Albert Schweitzer how children learn. And he said, three ways: by example, and by example. And children read our lives. They don't listen to our lectures. That's not to disparage verbal instruction in the things of God, because it's important that we use our voices in sharing with them. The Bible clearly puts the responsibility for spiritual training in the home and parents. We must teach our children how to know Christ and how to walk daily with him. We should read the Bible and pray often with our families, and that might mean that you need to turn the television off for 5 minutes. That might mean you need to turn the Xbox off for 5 minutes. That might mean you need to put your book down for 5 minutes. Or 10, or 15, or 20, however many you want. But the example is, we need to spend time with our children. We need to give them the instruction in the home. But in addition to verbal teaching, our lives must back up our words. Nothing will drive a child away from faith faster than hypocrisy. I'm not talking about perfection, but I'm talking about reality with Christ. When we sin against our families, we should ask for God's forgiveness and then for their forgiveness. Our daily life should show the fruit of the Spirit in our homes. And of course, the people here are setting such a great example to their children, aren't they? It doesn't tell us that they prayed for them, that they taught them the Bible, but it does tell us that they brought them to Jesus. And what an example, leading their children to Jesus. They knew Jesus was a special teacher sent from God. They wanted him to touch and to bless their children. And the best example we can give our children is by leading them to Christ. And we can start that by bringing them to church. It's important to be here week by week. It's important that our kids get used to it, that they receive the love and the care offered by friends and family within the church. As they grow, they hear the teaching of the Bible and they learn more about Jesus' love for them. Let's be a people who lead our children to Christ. As we move on in the text, though, we learn another important lesson. Let them come. Let them come. We read in verse 13 that the parents were bringing their children to Jesus. But look what happened. But the disciples rebuked them. The disciples rebuked them. And that's a problem. The disciples were blocking the children from coming to Jesus. They were stopping them. And the disciples represent, I think, the people of God today. They represent us here this morning sitting in Cornton Baptist Church. These disciples have tried to rebuke the people and send the children away. And that seems strange to me. And it probably seems strange to you as well. This church has had a heritage from its very beginning about welcoming children into our midst. And we still carry that on because it's so important. These men have been with Jesus. They have seen how Jesus welcomes people to his side, that he never turns people away. But for some reason, they're rebuking the parents for bringing their children. We are to let them come. We are to let them come. And that means that we need to stop doing, or not stop them from coming in some ways. We do that. We don't stop them because they are little. That's the first thing. We don't stop them because they are little. Jesus said to his disciples there in verse 14, "Let the little children come to me and do not hinder them." Jesus recognizes the importance of children. They may be too young to understand the ways of the world or the deep mysteries of Scripture. And hey, do we understand all the deep mysteries of Scripture even though we've grown older and maybe wiser? No. Why the children come? They're not too little to be important. Jesus is busy. Crowds are around him as they always were. But he stops and he picks the little children up. He speaks to them and he blesses them. Just because our children are little doesn't mean that we should ignore them. Just because our children are little doesn't mean that we should not care for them. Just because our children are little does not mean that we should not look out for their spiritual welfare. We can teach them about Jesus from a young age. I'm just going to repeat that over and over. We can teach them simple Bible stories. We can teach them to read as they grow older. We can talk about Jesus to them and tell them all about him. Children are never too little to hear about Jesus. Don't stop them because they're little. We're to let them come. And to let them come means that we don't stop them because of our doubts. Our doubts. Sometimes when we grow older, we doubt Jesus. Or we doubt the Bible story. We look at the world around and its attractions and its pleasures and we are drawn away. Or we don't see answers to prayer immediately. And we begin to doubt a little bit. And we draw back. You know, with that mindset, we begin to doubt whether church is important. And so we don't tell our kids. Or we stop telling them. We think to ourselves that they can decide themselves when they grow up. And while I would always encourage the fact that our children need to decide for themselves as they grow up, I do recognize what an important role we have to give them all the information they need so that when they're older, they can make that decision for themselves. Go to church with your doubts. Take your children with you. Listen in and see if your doubts can be removed. Ask questions of the pastor and of others within the church family. But please don't let your doubts stop you from bringing your children to Jesus. I dare say there were those in the crowd that day who had doubts. But it didn't stop them bringing their children to Jesus. We are to let them come. We are to let them come. Which means we don't stop them because of anything that we do. We spoke earlier of our example and how, as we say, a good example, a great example for our children, they learn from us. But you know, the opposite is also true. And if we set the wrong example, we will become a stumbling block to our children. How criminal would it be? How awful would it be if we stopped our kids from coming to Jesus because of something that we did that hindered them, that put a barrier up, that put them off? Now, that may be our words, the way we use them. Paul speaks in Colossians 3 and 8 of abusive language and how to avoid it. In Ephesians 4, 29, he encourages us to use words that build up and encourage each other. To scream in anger at a child, to call them names, to use sarcasm to put them down is to sin. And if you do these things, you need to repent of it and seek your child's forgiveness. We need to watch that we don't abuse them in so many ways. There are many things that we can do that stop our kids from coming to Jesus. May we be guarding against it always. We're called to lead them to Christ. We're called to let them come. And as Jesus speaks to his disciples, we discover that we are to learn from children. Isn't that an amazing thing? We think they need to learn from us, but actually, well, we need to learn a little bit from them. We need to learn from our children. What do I mean by that? Well, in verse 14, Jesus says, the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Verse 15, he says, I tell you the truth. Anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it. Here he gives a lesson on how we as adults can come to believe in and enter the kingdom of heaven. As adults, we try to rationalize everything and work it all out. We like neat answers to all of our questions. We want to understand absolutely everything before we come to accept it. And many times, that stops us coming to Christ. We think we can do it all on our own. Children are different. They have a very simple trust and a very simple faith, a very simple respect. Firstly, children have humility. They have humility. They're humble creatures. They don't come with their own puffed up importance, show off all their prizes as if somehow they're the bee's knees. They come as they are. They put that smile on their face and we pick them up and we hug them. You know, Rebecca used to always come and just sit in the chair beside me. She didn't do it because she had done something big or important. She hadn't earned some kind of special right to be at my right hand there on the chair. She came because she wanted to be with her dad. And her dad put his arms around her because of who she was, not because of what she had done. And God does the same with each one of us. He takes us in his arms, not because of what we have done, for there is absolutely nothing we can do. But he does it because he loves us for who we are. He loves us even as sinners. He loves us as the bad people we are. You see, the lesson Jesus teaches us here is that we have to come humbly before God. Come in humility. There's no other way to come. Oh, we can't come before God pretending to be some great big shots. Listing off all the great things we've done this week. As if somehow or other God's going to look at that and say, oh, well done, pet. God looks at us and he sees our sin. He sees how we've forgotten him. He sees how we've rebelled against him and ignored him and gone our own way. He sees how our sin has separated us from him forever. And God is a just God and he needs to punish sin. But as a loving God, he loves his creation. So he sent his son into this world to take our place on the cross. Jesus died to save us from our sin. He offers us forgiveness through Jesus' death on the cross to be right with God. We just need to accept that offer of forgiveness. We need to repent of our sins. We need to turn to follow him. We need to accept Christ as Lord and as Savior. And we do that as we come humbly before him, recognizing that there is absolutely nothing we can do. Nothing. 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 Children come with humility. They also come with dependence. They depend on other people. They rely on their parents. They can't feed themselves. They can't wash themselves. They can't change themselves as toddlers. As they start school, yes, they can begin to clean themselves a little bit, but you do need to check they've washed all the little bits, even behind their ears and all the rest of it. They can clothe themselves. And sometimes you need to check just what they're putting on and if it matches or doesn't match. They can feed themselves, still make a mess all over the house and the floor, but they can feed themselves. But they can't cook, they can't clean the house, they can't earn money to put food on the table. Kids rely on their parents, and they do that without thinking. They do that without questioning. They simply depend upon their mums and their dads. And Jesus says that he wants us to do the same with regard to God. We have to come and we need to depend on him. We need to do that without having all the answers. We depend on God for life and for breath. He made us. He knows us. He loves us. He knows how we're wired. He knows how we work. And so he knows what we need in life. And when it comes to salvation, to getting into heaven, to spend eternity with him, we can depend upon him. We can't do it ourselves. We need to depend on God. And finally, children of faith. They trust their parents. They have faith in them. They believe that they will look after them and provide for them. They don't need big promises. They don't need it written down in a little bit of paper and then for us to sign our names at the bottom saying that we're going to stick to that pledge to look after them. They just simply put their faith in their parents. And so we're called to put our faith in God, to take that giant leap, as it were, You know, when our kids were younger, Andrew and Rebecca, they would both stand on the stairs in the house, and they would go up two steps, or maybe three steps, maybe four steps if they were feeling brave. And they would look and they'd shout, "Dad, catch!" And they would jump. Now, they had no idea if I would catch them or wouldn't catch them, but they had faith that I would. And I did. We need to do the same with God, friends. We need to jump sometimes. Jump. We need to let go of our fears, let go of our inhibitions. We need to let go of everything that holds us back and just jump into the arms of the Savior. We need to even lay aside our desire for knowledge sometimes and hard fact and just trust, just believe, just have faith in Jesus. We need to learn from our children. Lead them to Christ. Let them come. Learn from them. And lastly, we learn that we are to love them completely. Love them completely. Look what Jesus says in verse 16. Look what he does. "And he took the children in his arms, put his hands on them, and blessed them." How do we love them completely? We follow Jesus' example. We are to take time. We are to take time. The disciples are annoyed that people are bringing their children to Jesus. He was a busy man. He was speaking a lot. He was healing a lot. They thought he was tired. They thought he had more important things to be concerned about and to do. But here's Jesus' heart. Here is Jesus' heart. He's never too busy for anyone, even the little children. He longs that all would come to him. Verse 14, "Let the little children come to me. Do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to these. Let the children come." And he took the children in his arms. He made time for them. They didn't bring money. They couldn't serve Jesus by doing things. And yet they have a special place in Jesus' heart. He loves them. He longs to see them. He loves to talk to them. He longs to bless them. He takes time with them. Let me ask you, this is a serious question. Do you take time for your family? Is spending time with your kids a priority in your life? Let me suggest that it needs to be. So make any changes that you need to do in order to make it so. Take time. We're also to touch them. Touch them. Before he left that place, Jesus placed his hands on each one of them and he blessed them and he prayed for them. He took the time necessary to do it. No matter how young they were, how insignificant they appeared, Jesus took the time to place his hands upon them. He could have waved at them. He could have waved at them and that would have been enough for them possibly. But it wasn't enough for Jesus. He wanted to touch them. Touch is so important. It shows us, it shows our children that we care for them. A little 4-year-old girl became frightened one night during a thunderstorm. After one particularly loud clap of thunder, she jumped from her bed, hurtled along the hallway, burst into her parents' room, and dive-bombed into the middle of the bed, seeking her parents' arms and comfort and assurance. "Don't worry, honey," her father said, trying to calm her fears. "The Lord will protect you." And the little girl snuggled closer to her daddy and she said, "I know that, daddy, but right now I just need somebody with skin on." Touch is so important. Don't be distant at parents and grandparents and aunts and uncles. Pick them up, hug them, hold them close. And finally this morning, we are to bless them. We are to bless them. Jesus took the children in his arms. He made time for them. He touched them. And then we read that he blessed them. What does that mean? Well, quite simply put, I think it means that he prayed for them. And he spoke words of love into their hearts. The biggest blessing we can give our children is to utter words of love into their lives. Encourage them. Affirm them. Show them Jesus as well. Love them completely. Friends, there's a lot to consider here this morning. And I hope you realize today that children matter. They matter to Jesus. And they ought to matter to each one of us here in this place, whether we have children or not. Whether our children are grown up or whether they're still little. They need to matter to us. We're called to lead them to Christ. For that is the greatest gift that we can offer our children. Set the right example. We are to let them come.
That means we're not to put stumbling blocks in their way. Set the right example. We're to learn from children, for it's only when we come with childlike faith that we truly see and know and can accept Christ Jesus. Set the right example. And we are to love them completely, giving them our time, holding them close, speaking words of love and truth into their lives. Set the right example. Jesus considered children important enough to give them his time and his individual blessing. He wants us to learn from children what it means to believe in him. He wants us to lead children to faith in him. I pray that if you yourself have never come to faith in Jesus Christ, that today you will jump off that step and you will run into the arms of a Savior who loves you and who cares for you and who wants the very best for you. I pray that many of us, all of us even, would commit ourselves to the important task of leading children to Christ. You will be doing a work that's important to the Savior, one that Jesus counted as important. Children matter. If you go away with nothing else this morning, those two words, say them over and over and over and over and over and over again in your life, in your minds this week. Children matter. Children matter. Children matter. And as they matter, then you love them. You care for them. You share Jesus with them. You bring them to the Savior. Let's pray together. Father God, we thank you for our children. We thank you for each and for every one of them. We thank you that you love them, that you care for them. We thank you for the great example that Jesus set for us in regard to our children. Help us to follow that example. Help us to lead our children to Jesus. Help us not to hinder them or get in their way or put up stumbling blocks and barricades. Help us to hold them close. Help us to learn from them. Help us to love them completely. Father God, this week in our own homes, those of us who are parents, help us to teach our children more of you. Those of us who help at the kids' activities in the church, Lord, help us to teach them more about you. Those of us who are surrogate aunts and uncles and grannies and grandpas in the fellowship here, help us to speak well to our children. Help us not to put them off by anything we say or do. Help us to encourage them, to support them, to love them, to care for them. Father God, allow these words just to set on our minds, to make their way into our hearts, and help us to live them out in practice this week. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.